So what are they like? Are they fast?
No.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah, with lots of corners and stuff. Like it's like a track, kind of like a. Excellent, excellent. We could go again. Yes. Okay. So, this is Saturday. It's really dead around here. There's no one around. Wow. Okay. So, on to relativity here. So last time, let me just remind you where we had gotten to last time. So we had discovered something very odd. So if you're in space-time, so you've got one space axis and some time axis, and stuff is happening in your space-time. So maybe this is Alice's space-time. Stuff is happening in there. Okay? And there are certain events. Maybe, you know, she claps her hands at this point in space, at that moment in time. And maybe there's someone else who claps his hand at this location in space at a later time, and Alice herself maybe claps her hand at a later time, and so on. So we've got some events happening in this space-time. Okay? And if we connect these events with straight lines like this, so here's a triangle. And with tri as soon as you see a triangle, you think geometry, you think Pythagoras' theorem, that sort of thing. Okay, so but what we found is that well, first of all, let me just remind you that by plotting CT versus X instead of T versus X, both of these axes are measured in units of length. And we could choose, for example, meters or kilometers or light years or whatever. So let's just say meters. So both of these are meters. It's meters versus meters. Okay, so everything's in meters, and maybe this is 5 meters, and maybe this is 3 meters, and maybe this is 4. Okay? And so we see triangles like that. And you look at that triangle and you say, well, that's impossible. Okay, the hypotenuse is clearly longer than these two sides, either of these two sides. Okay, how could it be 4? Okay, so what we're seeing is certainly a geometry, but not the usual geometry, not Euclidean geometry. We're seeing something called Minkowskian geometry. Okay, there are lots of different kinds of geometry in mathematics. And if you study geometry, you will learn about all kinds of different ones. And Minkowski discovered that space-time has this kind of geometry. So let's compare Euclidean and Minkowski. We'll consider two different situations. Okay, so this is an example of Euclidean geometry. So we're going to consider two points in space. So what we've got is, so our blackboard here is a two-dimensional space, and our coordinate system is x and y, and they're both measured in meters, say. So x is in meters, y is in meters. Okay? And we've got two points in space. So we'll say this is point alpha. This is, say, here. And we've got point beta over here, which is there. Okay, so we got 2 points in space like this. And we can get from this point alpha to point beta by various different paths. Okay, so the simplest path is just the straight line path from there to there. Okay, another path is say this is Alice goes on this path here. Another path is, say, Bob. Bob could say you know, stop over at some location over here and then head back to beta over there. Okay, so those are two different paths here. And let's put some numbers in here. So suppose that Bob takes a little detour here, which is 3 meters away from Alice's path, perpendicular. Okay, and let's suppose that this is 4 and 4. So Alice's path here is a total of 8 meters or 8 kilometers or whatever we want to talk about. Okay, and let's see. So how can we figure out what the length of Bob's path is? Pythagoras, right? Okay, so we would say length of this guy is equal to length of this guy plus length of this guy. Length of this guy, we have a right triangle, 3, 4. Okay, so it's square root of 3 squared plus 4 squared plus that one. Well, that's the same thing. Okay, so this is a trivial example, but just to show you, we're really using Pythagoras' theorem, or we're really using geometry here to figure out this length. We know this guy and this guy, so we can determine the hypotenuse there. Okay, and so we get 5 plus 5 is 10. Okay, and so we notice that the length of Bob's path over here is 10, whereas the length of Alice's path is 8. So 10 is greater than 8. So Bob's path is longer. Okay, so that's trivial. Okay, so the thing is, Bob's path is longer than a straight line. Okay, so that's trivial. Okay, so let's move on to Minkowskian geometry. Okay, so we'll consider a similar situation, except instead of the blackboard being a two-dimensional space, our blackboard will be space-time. So there's an x and a ct, and they're both measured in meters or kilometers or light years or whatever you want, as long as we make them the same units of length. Okay, and we've got two points here. Now, a point like alpha has two kinds of information. It has a spatial, like a position information, as well as a time. This is an event. Okay, so when I draw a point in space-time, it means that something has happened at this location in space and at that time. Okay, so like snapping of my fingers or clapping my hands or flipping on a laser light or whatever. Some event has happened at this location. So alpha would be, say, something that happened here now. Okay, so here is another event here, say beta. And beta locates, beta occurs at the same location in space. Okay, it's this vertical here. So we could say it also occurs here, but it occurs later. So it's here and then. Okay? And we could suppose that Alice takes a path between here and now and here and then, just along a straight line path like that. At least that's what Alice does. Okay, but Bob is going to do something different. Bob is going to take a detour. Okay, so Bob is going to take a detour to this point over here. So this point is, it's not here, it's further away. It's to the right of us. It's somewhere over there. So this is there. And it's somewhere between now and then. Okay, so it's now then. Now then, that's where Bob is. Okay, so Bob's going to take a detour here. He's going to take a path like that. Okay, so let's put in some numbers here. So again, let's suppose that this distance here, the distance between here and there is something like 3, whatever units we're using, meters or kilometers or light years. And let's suppose these distances here are 5. Okay. So now again, we do some geometry. Okay, and we say length of Bob's path. If we go back to this sort of thing, remember that what we're doing here is we're going 4 squared is 5 squared minus 3 squared. Okay, so to figure out the length of this hypotenuse, we take this squared minus this squared, square root gives us that. Okay, and it's and we do the identical thing down here because they're obviously the same triangles. Okay, and so this is going to give us 4 plus 4 is 8. Okay, so now we notice that in Minkowskian geometry, the length of Bob's path, the length of this guy, the detoured path, the non-straight line, is only 8, whereas Alice's path is 10. Okay, so it's the opposite of this. In the Euclidean case, we had 10 greater than 8. This path here was longer than the straight line path. Here we have this bent path is actually shorter than the straight line path. Okay? So Minkowskian geometry has this weird kind of property. And it's shorter because of the minus sign. OK, Okay, if we had a plus sign here, it would obviously, this number would obviously be bigger than the biggest number. So this number would be bigger than 5. Okay, but because of the minus sign, it turns out to be smaller than the 5. It's actually 4. It's 4 is 8. Okay, so we're just talking a little bit here, just sort of in the abstract, about geometry. But physically, what does this geometrical length correspond to? And what does this geometrical length correspond to? Sorry?
Time.
Okay, elapsed time. Okay, so let's take this picture over here, just draw the same thing and physically interpret it. What it's saying is that if Alice starts here now and ends up here at some time later, that means she's just standing here. And what's happening is her clock is ticking away, tick, 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 tick. And the ticking of her clock is indicated by tick marks along her world line here. Okay? And these numbers indicate exactly the number of tick marks on her clock. Okay? So here we've got 5 tick marks. Maybe her clock starts at 0, and it goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, that's the ticking of Alice's clock. And same here. This total path length here is the total elapsed time for Bob. Okay, and so there's this length is 4, this length is 4. Means that there are 4 tick marks. Bob's clock ticked 4 times. So Bob walked like this away from Alice at a constant speed. Then he turned around and he came back. And while he was walking, his clock was, of course, ticking. And as it's ticking, it's like tick, 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 tick. Okay, and there are only 4 ticks. 1, 2, 3, 4. So maybe he zeros his clock here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He gets back, and it's 8. Okay? So the key point, the key phrase here is this. Okay, so a chronometer is a space-time odometer. So a chronometer is an old-fashioned word for a clock. So a clock is a space-time odometer. So if we go back to this picture over here, we're talking about someone moving around in a two-dimensional space, say around on the surface of the Earth, and we're getting from here to there, and Alice drives her car along a straight-line road, and her odometer clicks as she's moving along. Okay, so her odometer is clicking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 kilometers. Okay, and Bob takes this path over here. His odometer clicks 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So a total of 8 kilometers. Okay, for these guys over here, the odometer is replaced with their clock. Instead of the odometer rolling over, roll, 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 it's the clock, roll, 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 like this. And so as these guys move, the rolling of their clock is actually measuring the distance in space-time, the distance in Nisman-Kofskian geometry. So time is nothing but a geometrical length of a path. Okay? And the fact that in getting from here now to here then, the fact that there's a different amount of time recorded for Alice and for Bob is obvious. They've taken different paths. The path lengths will be different. Okay? So that's the true nature of time. Time is different for everyone. Okay, so for example, if we do, you know, the usual twins paradox, which you probably heard about, this is essentially the twins paradox. So what we have is Alice remains here on the Earth, and Bob goes in his spaceship, takes a trip to some planet. Okay, so here's the world line of the Earth at rest. Here's the world line of the planet, which is at rest with respect to the Earth, some distance 3 light years away from the Earth. And Alice stays on Earth the whole time. Bob gets in his spaceship and flies out like this and then comes back. And there's less elapsed time for Bob because his path is different. There's a different time because the path is different. The fact that it's actually less instead of longer is because of that funny minus sign. Okay? So time is nothing but the length of a path in space-time. The geometrical length using Minkowskian geometry. Okay. That is really cool. Okay, see? So time is different for everyone. It just depends upon your trajectory through space-time. Okay, so let me talk a little bit about an extreme case of that. Okay, so here we saw that that the curved path or the non-straight path was shorter than the straight path. Okay, and in fact, the straight path is the longest possible path. Okay, so a straight line is the longest path connecting two points. Okay, normally in ordinary Euclidean geometry, if we have any two points, a straight line is by definition the path of shortest distance. Okay, in Minkowski space, it's the reverse. The straight line is the path of longest distance connecting any two points. Okay, so let's go back to our example here. So here's our two points, and here's Alice's clock, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, and suppose that Bob takes a trip, not to something far away, but something very, very close. Okay, so something really, really close. Okay, then his world line will be like this, and then he will come back. So because this distance is very, very small, the difference between the rate at which time is moving relative to, for Bob, relative to Alice, is going to be very minuscule. They're going to be almost the same. Okay, so when we put the tick marks on Bob's clock, we will put them almost at exactly the same points as Alice's. Okay, they're just slightly ahead of Alice's. Time advances slightly more slowly. And so maybe by the end, the total time elapsed for Bob is 9.9 days or years or whatever unit we're using. Okay, now so that's with Bob moving very slowly to a nearby location and then coming back. Now, what if Bob is moving to a greater a destination that's a greater distance, and he's got to then go faster there and back? Okay, so let's consider an extreme case where he is close to the speed of light. So speed of light on the way out is at 45 degrees, so he's almost at 45 degrees. Okay, and then he comes back almost at 45 degrees. So this is 45 degrees, say. So he's traveling almost the speed of light out, almost the speed of light back. Okay, so we've got 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay? And the time dilation here is going to become really extreme. Okay, so here, the time from here to here was nearly 5. Okay, so it's going to become, and there it was 4. As we went faster and faster. Now we're going really, really fast. It's going to get really, really small. Okay, so for example, it might just be 1. Maybe this is a half. Okay, so halfway there, Bob's clock moves half a notch. And then by the time he gets there, it moves only one notch. And then 1.5, and then 2. Okay, so what happens in the extreme case when Bob just goes at the speed of light out and at the speed of light back? 0. Okay, so this is just 0 and 0. Okay, so no time elapses for Bob. So basically, this could be, say, the Andromeda galaxy out here. This could be the Earth. And if Bob were able to move at the speed of light, he would get to the Andromeda galaxy, and no time would have elapsed for him. He would look at his watch. Leaving, oh, we're there. And then on the way back, you know, leaving, oh, we're back to Earth. Okay, just like bang, bang, like that, like nothing. And so photons, of course, move at the speed of light. And so what that means is that a photon, which takes off, say, here's the universe with all of its wonderful galaxies and stuff, you know, 40 billion galaxies or whatever it is, and a photon takes off over here, okay, and it travels huge distances on cosmological scales. Okay, well, for that photon who's traveling at the speed of light, the photon gets from here to here with no elapsed time. That means that the photon sees the entire universe compressed into one plane. sees the entire universe simultaneously. Okay. Now, people, any object with rest mass can't be accelerated to the speed of light, can't reach the speed of light, but you can get arbitrarily close. So if we were a super advanced civilization that could construct really super rockets and get going at nearly the speed of light, you could just cover from here to here in virtually no time, in very, very little time. And this entire stretch of your path would be compressed in front of you. Not sideways, there's no compression sideways, but it would be compressed in front of you. Okay? Actually, I have this this great video that I want to show you, but this thing is down. I'll show you tomorrow. It's really cool. Okay. So. Okay, also, let's talk about accelerated observers, accelerated objects. Because so far, we've been imagining that Bob is starting at the Earth, and then instantly he's up to 90% the speed of light. And then instantly he stops, turns around, is 90% the speed of light back. So that's like there's no way he could like stop and like turn around that quickly, right? So this is like infinite acceleration here, infinite deceleration to come to rest. He's going at 90% the speed of light, and then in zero time he comes to rest. Okay, well, that's going to hurt. Okay, so we need to make this a bit more realistic, so let's introduce acceleration. Okay, well, turns out this is very simple. And the only hard thing is finding the eraser. Wow. Okay. Okay. So, accelerated observers. All right, so remember, okay, so some of you have done special relativity, you've read some stuff about it, and the way that special relativity is presented is there are these inertial frames, and they're moving relative to each other, and there's even maybe, how many of you have done Lorentz transformations? Okay, a couple have looked at Lorentz transformations. Okay, well, sometimes that gives you the sense that, well, it's difficult to deal with accelerated observers. Well, it's not, it's trivial. Okay, so here we go. So, okay, so here's Alice, who stays at rest on the Earth, and here's her clock, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 2. 22 years have elapsed for Alice. Remember, whenever we're drawing space-time diagrams, they're always in the same units, they're both length, and we could choose them to be meters or light years or whatever we want. Okay, and then there's a planet over here that Bob wants to visit. So how is he going to get there? Thanks, Mark. Well, let's see. So he's going to start off at the Earth right over here at t equals zero. What is his world line initially? If he's at rest, what is his world line? Straight up. Okay. As he starts picking up speed towards that planet, what happens to his world line? It starts tipping over, right? As he starts picking up speed. It can't tip past 45 because he's exceeding the speed of light. Okay, so what we do is we start off with the I'll sort of draw it over here. We start off with a curve that's vertical, and then he picks up speed slowly, and it sort of tips over like this, and now he's coasting at a constant speed. Okay, so from here to here, he is accelerating. His slope is changing, faster and faster, getting closer to 45 degrees. At this point now, it's a straight line, and he's coasting. Okay, so let's draw that here. Okay, so he picks up speed, he accelerates during a small interval here. Okay, at this point over here, he says, I'm going at 90% the speed of light, I'm okay, that's all I need. And so then he continues on coasting, straight line like this. That's less than 45, hopefully. Okay, so this is the acceleration phase. Okay, then during this phase, he coasts. He just drifts freely through space on Galileo's engine, which is just the inertia. And then at this point, he says, I'm coming at this planet at 90% of speed of light. I better slow down if I want to get out and stop. So he starts to slow down. What happens to his world line? Goes like that, curves back that way. Okay, so his speed starts to reduce, until he's going at zero speed with respect to the planet and with respect to Alice. Okay, so now he's, so this is decelerate here. Okay, and then he takes, the whole reason he's gone is so that he can get out of his spaceship, walk around this planet, see if there's any cool things happening. So here he's stopped. And then when he's out of oxygen, gets back in his space, well, actually, before he's out of oxygen, he gets back in his spaceship, and he takes off. What happens now? He accelerates back towards the Earth, so it goes that way. So here's his acceleration. He accelerates up to 90% the speed of light, and then he coasts all the way back, and then he decelerates here like that. Okay, so what have we got? So here we have accelerate back. Coast. And decelerate to stop. Okay, so that's a more realistic path that Bob would take. So what's the time? What's the time elapsed for Bob? Well, that's easy to figure out in principle. We can actually just guess. We can sort of get a feeling for what's going to be involved here. During the time that he's starting out here, his speed is slow. His velocity is small compared to Alice. Okay, and so we're sort of in this situation over here, where the tick marks on his world line are nearly the same as Alice's tick marks on her clock. Okay, so it's almost the same. So this would be 1, 2, 3, and so on. Okay, but by this time, he's moving really, really fast. He's moving at close to the speed of light. So now we're in this kind of situation, where here, five years have elapsed for Alice, but only one for Bob. So his clock is ticking at a very slow rate relative to Alice's. Okay, so during this time here, if we just go back here, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 years have elapsed for Alice. Much less will elapse for Bob, maybe only 1 year. So this is 3, and then this becomes 4. So basically no ticks. There's a tick here and a tick here of his clock, but a big, huge span here of no ticking. Well, it's ticking, but slow, you know what I mean? And then he decelerates. So the space between his tick marks relative to this Alice line here slowly becomes less, so it might look something like this. Okay, until eventually, this tick is almost the same as Alice's. And then when he's stopped, of course, now it's exactly the same. Okay, and then he accelerates again. It starts out almost the same, and then the spacing gets bigger. Here, the spacing is huge, maybe only one tick from there to there, and then it decelerates and becomes the same. Okay, so what do we got? We've got like 1, 2, 3 here, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, so 15 years have elapsed for Bob, 22 for Alice. Okay, and now how would you do this mathematically? Well, you would use calculus. Okay, so here's the curve, like this. Okay, and what we would do is, what we know how to do is this Minkowskian version of Pythagoras, right? Given any two points like that, I can figure out the distance between those two points by drawing a triangle, right triangle like this, vertical and horizontal, figure out this time for Alice, this distance for Alice, take this squared minus this squared, square root gives me that. Okay, so I divide this path into a whole bunch of little pairs of points like this, and I draw little triangles. Well, this triangle is almost the same as Alice time. Okay, so let's pick, say, this point over here. So I take a straight line connecting those two points. I construct a little triangle like this. I take this distance squared minus this distance squared gives me that distance squared. And then I go on like this, draw a little triangle like that. This squared minus this squared is this squared, and so on. And so you'll notice, and then you just add it all up. So you use calculus. Or you integrate. Now you'll notice that that basically what you're doing is you're taking this squared minus this squared. If this bit is really small compared to this bit, then the hypotenuse is nearly the same length, okay, which is what's happening here. That little horizontal bit is so tiny that that distance is the same as that distance almost. But when you come out to here, when Bob is moving at nearly the speed of light compared to Alice, then this distance becomes nearly the same as this distance. Okay? So now when you go, so this guy is only a little bit less than this guy. So when you go this squared minus this squared, you get a number that gets closer and closer to zero. So the actual distance here on these little segments approaches zero. Okay? So that's like here. Very little time elapses over long stretches of Bob's world line. Okay? And so that's how you do accelerated observers. And that's, in fact, we'll talk a little bit tomorrow about this, but that's, in fact, how... So Einstein used this kind of thinking. He thought a lot about accelerated observers. And this was one of the key, or led to one of the key insights into developing general relativity. So special relativity has no problem with accelerated observers. Okay. Now there's a really interesting topic, which we haven't touched on at all, and that's very important, and that's going to lead to something really bizarre that's going to blow your mind. Okay, so synchronizing clocks. We haven't talked about synchronizing clocks. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about that. That's a very important topic here. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the deal. We've got these two clocks here. So we've got one of them on this side over here, which will prop up nicely. Does anyone have a pen? Can I borrow a pen? Okay, so here's one clock. These props are high tech. And here's our second clock. Okay, so we've got a clock on either end of the table. How are we going to synchronize these clocks? What does that mean to synchronize them, and how are we going to do it? To synchronize basically means if I have two clocks side by side, I just set them to the same time. When one reads exactly 12 noon, the other reads exactly 12 noon, if they're identical clocks, side by side, they just go chunk, 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 chunk. Okay, but how do I get them to both read 12 noon, and what does that exactly mean? When they're right next to each other, it's really easy. Okay? So here, I'm going to take this clock, I'm going to carry it through space and time, and I'm going to put it next to this clock, I'm going to adjust the clocks until they read exactly the same time, and then I'm going to take this clock, and now they're synchronized. I'm going to take this clock, I'm going to bring it over to here, I'm going to set it down here, and I'm going to claim that I now have two synchronized clocks. Are you happy? Why not?
Because you moved.
Because we moved, right? Okay, so let's look at that. So here's one clock. The clock at the left didn't move. Okay, and then the other clock, what did we do? What we did is we synchronized it. We made sure that it reads the same time. They both read zero. And then what we did is we carried it over, put it down, and now it's sitting there. Okay, well, during this time, there's some acceleration involved and some constant velocity and then some deceleration, and then I put it to rest and so on. But of course, just as we just said, the amount of time elapsed from here to here on this clock is going to be less because of this velocity component relative to this clock. So now they're allowed to be out of sync. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This one might read only 4, so now they're out of sync. So how can we do it? Yeah.
How about if we have, like, you're going to keep the two clocks at a length, like, D or something, right? So how about we put the two of them in the middle, and we synchronize them, we put them on the same clock, and then we take them at the same velocity to the ends.
Yes. Okay, let's do that. So that's one way to do it. Perfect. So the idea is we do that. We make it just perfectly symmetric. We just start with them both in the middle. We have two people. They walk, you know, chung, 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 same pattern of motion, and that's synchronized. Okay. What's another way to do it? More convenient than that? Yeah. Okay. So we're using two beams of light to activate the clocks. Well, how do I launch the two beams? Where do I launch them from? How do I set that up?
Like it's directly in between them. It's like you press the button.
Okay, so what we've got is a light source here, a light bulb over here, right smack dab in the middle. So we measure with our ruler, smack dab in the middle, and then we hit the button over here, light goes out to both sides, and the clocks are designed so that when they receive the light signal, they zero. Okay, that's a good way. Okay, so the picture then is like this. Here are our two clocks. They're never in motion. They're just sitting there. And what we do is we find some location halfway in between. We flip on the light. The light moves to the right at 45 degrees, moves to the left, 45 degrees. As soon as the clocks receive those signals, they zero it. And then forevermore, they're in sync. One, two, and so on. Okay, one thing I want to stress here is that the idea inherent in this is the assumption that the light, when it goes out in both directions, travels at the same speed. Okay, and that relies on which of the two principles? Which of Einstein's two principles? Second. So we are relying on, that's 45. We are relying on that by principle two. Remember, it's very important, if you're trying to understand nature, reduce it to the simplest possible principles, and then derive everything from those, try to see if you can derive everything from those principles, okay, to see if they are a complete set of principles, and then to test the consequences of those principles. Okay, so everything we do relies only on those two principles. We're not making any other assumptions. That's the game that we're playing. Okay, so let me give you another way to do this, which is equivalent. It ends up giving you the same result, but it's going to be a little bit more convenient for what we're going to talk about. Okay, so one way to do it is just, I could stand here with a light signal, and I could send a flash of light traveling across the room like this. That light travels at what speed relative to me? C, by what principle? Okay, it comes across the room like this. It hits this guy over here. This guy's got a mirror. It bounces back. At what speed is it going?
C.
By what principle? Okay, it comes back here. I record how much time it took for the light to go there and back. Okay, and then I, let me just draw it on the space-time diagram. It'll be easier to see. Okay, so. Okay, so just in terms of space, what I'm going to do is, here's one clock, here's the other clock. Okay, so I send this light signal traveling like this, bounces off a mirror here, comes back, and both directions are C by principle number two. Okay, so now let's draw this in a space-time diagram. Okay, so here's the first clock, which we'll call A. Second clock, A prime, and so at this instant of time, a light signal is sent out, and this is 45, okay, by principle P2, it gets reflected back, 45 by principle P2. Okay, so now suppose that I find that I launch the signal at T equals 0 on my clock over here at the left end. It goes there and comes back, and suppose that 10 seconds have elapsed. How can I use this information to synchronize the clock? Yeah?
You know that when the other clock is used, it's halfway
there. Yes. Okay, so you know that when the other clock receives it, it's halfway. Okay, so what you know is because the speed out and the speed back were the same, you know that it took like the same amount of time to go there and to come back. So what you do is you figure out, well, how much time did it take to actually go there? You know the time there and back is 10. How much time did it take to go there? 5. So you take this number and you divide by 2. Can't spell divide. Divide by 2. Okay, so you divide by 2, and so this is 5 over here. And so you conclude that the second clock over here, A prime, must have received that light signal when your clock read 5. Okay, that's crucial. Okay, so you go across like this. You conclude that these two events should be simultaneous. Simultaneous. Okay? So what you say then is, so I've sent this signal, boom, boom, comes back after 10 seconds. I divide that by 2, 5 seconds, and then I yell over and say, hey, A prime, when you received that light signal, your clock should have read 5. A prime says, oh, well, my clock read 7 when I received that light signal. So then later on, after, you know, after this time over here, we're now in the future over there, Alice prime says, oh, okay, I'll just turn my clock back by 2 seconds. And then now my clock forevermore will be synchronized. Okay? Or perhaps they were synchronized to begin with, in which case Alice would call over to Alice prime and said, your clock should have read 5 when you received the light signal. And Alice prime says, yes, in fact, it did read 5. So our clocks are now in sync. Okay? So is that clear? That's really important that we understand that. Okay, so now what we're going to do, I should also say that a couple of points here. First of all, clock synchronization is a physical process. Okay, it involves some kind of process. Either you're doing this, you have two people walking like this, or you're sending light signals like this, or you're sending light signals like that. It always involves some kind of physical process. So synchronization is a physical process. Okay, the second thing is this physical process applies equally to Alice and Alice prime here, or us in the room here at rest, as it does to, say, a pair of observers who are floating through our space in some kind of a platform, okay, who are not accelerated. So it applies to anyone. So equally valid. Or say a moving pair of observers who are moving relative to us. Of course, relative to themselves, they're just at rest. Okay, and by what principles? By principle P1, first of all. Principle P1 says that for unaccelerated observers, they can consider themselves to be at rest. So here's Bob and Bob prime on a platform drifting through our space like this. They are not accelerating. They can consider themselves to be at rest. And then by principle P2, we have for any observers at rest, the speed of light is independent of the motion of the source. Okay, and so then we can apply the same idea. Okay, so let's do that. Okay, so what's going to happen is we're going to consider two pairs of observers, one Alice and Alice prime, which we'll consider to be at rest, and then Bob and Bob prime, who are drifting like this. And both of them can use this exact same procedure to synchronize their clocks. Okay? It's equally valid for all of them. That's what it means for time to be synchronized, okay? For clocks to be synchronized. And then we are going to look at Bob's physical process of synchronization from Alice's point of view. And we're to discover something very remarkable about the nature of space-time. Okay, So let's try to do that. Okay, so I'll just tell you the end result, and then I'll show you how we come about that. Okay, so the idea is this. When I say two simultaneous events, what I mean is something like this. I snap my fingers at the same time. Okay, so when I'm snapping my fingers, sound waves are coming like this, and they're hitting my ear at the same time. Okay, and I'm assuming that the speed of sound is the same in this direction as in this direction if I'm at rest with respect to the air. So when I hear them at the same time, that's simultaneous. Okay? Now, the thing about it is, let's completely forget about air and all that stuff. If I have two simultaneous events, the events that are simultaneous for me, okay, suppose I'm moving like this, and they're simultaneous for me, they won't be simultaneous for you. Okay? You will see this happen first, then this. Okay? So the concept of something happening at the same time is a relative concept. For one observer, this and this might happen at the same time. For another observer who's drifting in space past those events, they won't be at the same time. One will occur before the other, and vice versa. Okay, so simultaneity, that whole idea, is observer dependent. Depends on who's looking at the events. Okay, so that's an extremely important concept here. So here's the setup. So we've got Alice and Alice Prime on this platform floating out in the middle of empty space. Okay, non-accelerated. And we've got Bob and Bob Prime also on a platform floating out in the middle of empty space. And they're moving with some velocity v relative to Alice. Or we could take the point of view that Bob and Bob Prime are at rest and Alice Prime are moving with a velocity negative v in the other direction. It doesn't matter. We'll just pick one. So we'll generally take the point of view that these guys are at rest. Okay? Now, I want to kind of give you a sense of sort of different spaces here. Okay? So this is sort of the Bob and Bob Prime space. Okay? It's a space that's moving relative to the Alice and Alice Prime space. Okay, we'll draw the Alice and Alice Prime space is big, and it includes this. It includes the Bobs and Bob Prime. Bob and Bob Prime are moving in their space. Okay, and just amongst themselves, Bob and Bob Prime have their own space. Okay, so we'll sort of call this, this is the AA Prime space, and this is the BB Prime space, which is moving. Moving relative to the AA prime space. Okay, so now Bob and Bob prime, as far as they're concerned, they are not accelerated. According to principle one, they can consider themselves to be at rest. They do some they can do experiments with light clocks and all that stuff, which can never give any indication of their velocity. Okay, so as far as they're concerned, they're just at rest, standing on this platform. They're going to synchronize their clocks. They're going to use that physical process to synchronize their clocks. Okay, so let's look at what that clock synchronization looks like from the perspective of Bob and Bob Prime. So we've caught up with Bob and Bob Prime. We're at rest in their frame. We're watching their experiment. Okay, so what do we see? Okay, so there's Bob and Bob Prime. They're both at rest with respect to each other, so they have the same vertical world lines. Okay, and their clock synchronization procedure consists of Bob sending a light signal over to Bob Prime, who reflects it back to Bob. Okay, so here we go. These are drawn at 45 degrees by principle P2. And what does Bob do then? He measures the time it takes from here to here. Then divides by 2. Okay, so that means and his tick marks, whatever they are, we don't really care. Whatever they are, they're evenly spaced. So when he divides by 2, we just look at a picture like this and divide this line into 2. Okay, so this is of equal length. These are 2 are equal length. Okay, and he concludes that this event here, call it P, is simultaneous with this event, call it P prime. Okay, and so whatever his clock reading was over here, maybe his clock reading was 7 at this point over here. What he does after this point is he yells out to Bob Prime and says, hey, When you receive that light signal, your clock should have read 7. Bob Prime says, oh, it read 10. So he flips it back three seconds. Okay, and then forevermore, those clocks are synchronized. Okay, the point is, this event is simultaneous with this event according to Bob and Bob Prime. Okay, so that's crucial. Simultaneous. Okay, so these two events are like this for Bob and Bob Prime. They happen at the same time. Okay, now what we're going to do is, so that's nothing. That's easy. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at this physical experiment that Bob and Bob Prime do from the perspective of Alice and Alice Prime. Because Bob and Bob Prime are doing stuff here, and they're moving through Alice and Alice Prime's space, so Alice and Alice Prime should be able to look at that experiment and see what they're doing. Okay, so that's where it gets interesting. All right, so let's do that. All right. So now we're taking the point of view that Alice and Alice Prime are at rest. Okay, and what do they see? They see Bob and Bob Prime drifting through their reference frame, drifting through their space. Okay, so we see Bob drifting to the right, and Bob Prime is to the right of Bob, drifting with the same velocity. It's a parallel world line that's with the equal tilt. Okay, so we've got that. Okay, so let's just suppose that we've set up the timing of this experiment so that, so here's Alice and Alice Prime, and here's Bob and Bob Prime, and they're drifting with some velocity v like this. And let's just suppose we've set it up so that when Bob sends off his light signal, he happens to be passing Alice. Okay, just as a convenient way to draw the diagram. Okay, so when Bob sends off his light signal, it'll be when he crosses Alice's path. So that's right at that point over there. Okay, so when that edge lines up with that edge, Bob sends his light signal, and what does it do? What angle do I draw this at? Why? So because of P2, so let's start this off here. Okay, so this is 45 by principle P2. Okay, so what does Alice see? Alice sees Bob with a flashlight, clicks on the flashlight, and the beam of light goes out. Okay, so Alice is looking at that beam of light. The source of light is in motion. But so what? According to principle P2, speed of light is independent of the motion of the source. Very believable. So even though Bob is moving, okay, so then this light signal goes out like this, and it goes across like this, and then gets reflected back. Okay, so this signal over here gets reflected back. It's also at 45 degrees by P2, even though Bob Prime is in motion. Okay, so that's crucial. That this signal and this signal, as far as Alice is concerned, are also at just at 45 degrees. Okay. Now, because of the tilt of the Bob and Bob Prime world lines, this guy is not the same length as this guy. Okay. It's not a nice triangle. It's not a nice even triangle. Okay. It's kind of a skewed kind of triangle like that. Okay. And the skewing of that triangle is crucial here, because what I want to emphasize is what Bob does is when he receives that light signal, he looks at the time in his clock. Maybe it reads 10. Here it read 0. He divides that time in 2. Remember that regardless, sure, there's going to be some time dilation. If I actually put the tick marks on here, you'll see that the tick marks along Bob's world line have a greater spacing than the tick marks on Alice's. But regardless, whatever the spacing of the tick marks is, it's evenly spaced. So when we say 10 here, all we do is we look at this picture, divide this in 2 just by I here. It's right over there, 5. Okay, so this is the same distance as that. And so then Bob and Bob Prime conclude that this point P is simultaneous with this point P prime. Okay, so that's it here. Simultaneous. where he is. So that event are simultaneous for Bob and Bob prime. What about for Alice and Alice prime? Which occurs first? P occurs first. Okay, and that's because for Alice and Alice prime, what's simultaneous for them are, say, that event and that event, that event and that event. So these are lines of simultaneity, they're called. Any events along this line here for Alice and Alice prime occur at the same time. They're like this. Okay, so they look at this. Time is going on for Alice and Alice prime, and the first event that occurs is P, then later P prime. Okay, so for Bob and Bob prime, they see this. For Alice and Alice prime, they see this, then this. Okay, this relativity of simultaneity is the heart of special relativity. Okay, this is what really makes it self-consistent and makes it make sense. It makes length contraction and time dilation make sense. Okay, it makes those two phenomena relative. The idea that time is, when I look at you're moving, I look at your clock, I see it's running slow. Similarly, you look at my clock and see it's running slow. How is that possible? It's possible because of this relativity of simultaneity. Okay, I'm moving along, and you measure my width, and you find, oh, your width is less. I look at your width and say, no, it's your width that's less. How is that possible? It's precisely due to the tilting of that line of simultaneity. Okay? Okay, so simultaneous for B and B prime, not for A and A prime. Okay, so simultaneity is a relative concept. Now, let's talk a little bit about the concept of Bob's x-axis. Okay, so far we've always been doing this sort of thing. Here's Alice's world line. She's at rest. We're taking the point of view that she's at rest, and here's her clock ticking away, tick, tick, tick. Okay, and here's her x-axis. Okay, and here's, distance measured along her x-axis, and things can happen in her space. There's an event that happens at that location and at that time, and so on and so forth. Okay, that's what we've been doing so far, and we've always dealt with Alice's time axis, which is the same as her world line, and her space axis. What about Bob's space axis? Okay, we've shown Bob's time axis is this one. Here's CTB. Okay, and we've shown time dilation. Oh, well, okay, the spacing is not quite the same. It's further apart, and so on and so forth. This is the ticking of Bob's clock. We've shown Bob's time axis. What about his space axis? How do we draw his space axis in this picture here? So you want to do that, right? That's right. So your intuition is right. Your intuition is right to say that this guy is perpendicular to this guy. Okay, and that's the intuition that we get from here's x and y coordinate system according to Alice. Okay, so here's some space, two-dimensional space, and Alice comes on that two-dimensional space and draws this coordinate system and then maps things out. Bob comes along and says, I don't like your coordinate system, I'd rather use this coordinate system. X, B, Y, B. Okay? It's fine, it's okay, it doesn't matter. It's just a different coordinate system for the same space. So all of the points in that space would have different coordinates. Okay, according to Alice and Bob, the numbers would actually be different, but they're describing physically the same thing. Okay, so your intuition that it be perpendicular, because here it's perpendicular, between Alice and for Alice, between her x, between her TA axis and her x axis is perpendicular. So we would expect that to be perpendicular. And that's true. It is perpendicular. But remember that instead of AC squared equals A squared plus B squared, we have C squared is A squared minus B squared in this funny Minkowskian geometry. And the concept of perpendicular is a bit tricky. So you're right that it's perpendicular, but perpendicular is actually that way. Okay. So this is 90 degrees, so to speak. That's perpendicular. Okay, so let's see how that comes about. Okay, so here we've got, we're taking the point of view that Bob and Bob Prime are at rest. Okay, and we're talking about the platform. We're imagining that they're floating on the middle of empty space and they're standing at two ends of a platform, a physical material platform. Let's draw that platform in a space-time diagram. What does that platform look like at, say, when Bob and Bob Prime's clock both read zero? They've synchronized their clocks now. When both of their clocks read zero, in other words, the time is zero for Bob and Bob Prime, what does their, how would I draw their platform in this picture?
Straight line.
Straight line. Horizontal. At the bottom. Okay. So this is their platform. When the time in their frame is zero. Okay, now what do, how do I draw their platform at t equals one, when the time is one for them? What? Okay, so I draw it like this. So when their clocks read one, that platform still stretches from Bob to Bob Prime. It stretches through the space between the two. Let's imagine that the platform is like, you know, like one atom thick, like infinitely thin here. And it just stretches across like that. We've only got one dimension to work with. Okay, similarly, when their clocks read two, their platform looks like this. When their clocks read three, their platform looks like this. And so on and so forth. Okay? Now, what about it in between times? Between zero and one? Well, their platform still extends across. In fact, their platform occupies this entire volume. Okay, so this object here occupies volume and space, three-dimensional volume and space, but it's also there for at all instants of time. It's also, so at t equals 0, 1, 2, 3, it's always there. So it's occupying a volume that has a space-time volume, a volume in space and a volume in time. So it's actually the entire fills, so platform fills a four-dimensional space-time volume. Okay? And what we're doing here is we're just taking slices through that volume. It's like this guy over here. I could take slices of this guy, of this three-dimensional object. I'm taking slices of this four-dimensional object at various times. And that's the platform at various times for Bob and Bob Prime. Okay. Now, let's look what this platform then looks like from the Alice and Alice Prime perspective. Okay, so what we know is that, just going back to this guy, we know that events that are simultaneous for Bob and Bob Prime are not horizontal. They're tilted up like this. Okay, so let's put that tilt into this picture here. So for example, here's the event P, and we determined that this event, the event that's simultaneous for Bob Prime is tilted upwards a bit like this. So it's about here. Okay. These guys consider those events to be simultaneous. If they took a snapshot of their platform at this time, okay, they would see their platform lying like that. Okay, so that's their physical platform at the time when their clocks read whatever, 7 and 7. Okay. And similarly at other times. So we'll just take this picture, which is like a ladder over here, and we will translate it over here. We'll just tilt everything over a bit. Okay? So that's what their platform looks like. So their platform is tilted in time. tilted in time from the point of view of A and A prime. Okay, so that's crucial here. What is the angle of the tilt, do you think? How much tilt is there? How much? The angle be relative to? There's two things that are tilted here. One of them is Bob's world line, and the other is Bob's platform here. What do you think would happen if Bob and Bob Prime are moving at the speed of light, like approaching the speed of light? How would this diagram look? At the end of the day, the Bob and Bob Prime lines would be essentially nearly 45, and the platform lines would also be nearly 45, right? So they would all compress down. They'd all compress down to a 45. Okay. So this guy, the slope. Okay, let me draw it over here. And by the way, let me say, I mean, in this picture, it's obvious where this is Bob's time axis here. It's obvious where Bob's x-axis is. Where is it? It's just straight across. It's just horizontal. This is xb. So this is xb at t equals 0. This is Bob's x-axis at t equals 1. This is Bob's x-axis at t equals 2, and so on. Okay, so this is his x-axis at various times. Okay, so when we look at Bob's x-axis from the A and A prime point of view, this is Bob's x-axis. And at one time, this is Bob's x-axis at another time, and so on. Okay? So Bob's x-axis is tilted up like that. Okay? And let's see, the slope of this guy, is this V over C? C over V? So you might think it's V over C. It's C over V. And that's because we have time vertical and space horizontal. If we had flipped it around and had space vertical and time horizontal, the slope of the world line would just be the velocity. It would be V over C. Okay, but because we have time vertical and space horizontal, it's C over V. And this makes sense because as V goes to 0, what does C over V become? Infinite. Okay, and so an infinite slope is a vertical line. Okay? So if the slope of this guy is C over V, what do you think the slope of this guy is? V over C. Good guess. Okay? So I'm not going to justify that by doing any mathematics. I think it's plausible just by looking at it. They're just the reciprocal slope. Okay. And the slope, so in other words, this guy tilts upwards by the same angle that Bob's world line. So Bob's space axis tilts upwards by the same angle that Bob's time axis tilts to the right. Okay? So it's a bit like this. When you're doing xy, if we tilt this guy by an angle 10 degrees, then this will also be 10 degrees. Except now what we're doing is 10 degrees here and 10 degrees here, okay, because of that funny minus sign in the Minkowski version of Pythagoras. Okay. Okay. Let me show you this thing. I wonder if this will work. So this is just getting this whole relativity of simultaneity and how things look differently for different observers. Okay. So. Okay, good. We're doing all right, I think. Okay. So in this picture, what we're going to see, we're going to imagine that Alice and Alice Prime, this is their, say, x-axis here, and along their x-axis, along their platform, they have a bunch of lights set up. They're colored lights, red, green, and blue. Okay, and the platform, okay, so you can see it here. Let me turn down the lights a little bit. Lamp. Okay. There we go. Okay, so what we've got along, so here's Alice's time axis, here's Alice's space axis, this is her platform at say t equals 0 for Alice, and she's got a bunch of lights lined up along her platform. They alternate blue, green, red, blue, green, red, like that. Okay. And then as time goes on, so this is at the initial time. As time goes on, these lights are flashing. Okay, so at the next instant of time, these lights have changed. Okay, this blue light has become a red light, this green light has become a blue light, and so on. Okay, and then at the next instant of time, the red light has become a green light, and so on and so forth. So you can see there's this like a marquee sign. Okay, so they're flashing in different colors. So as time goes on, what Alice sees is just these flashing lights. First this pattern, then this pattern, then this pattern, and so on and so forth. Now suppose that Bob and Bob Prime are drifting past Alice in this direction. Okay, so this is so the left end of the Bob and Bob Prime platform is Bob. This is Bob's world line over here. That's his time axis. This is Bob's space axis. Okay, it's tilted upwards like this. This is Bob's space axis when the time in the Bob-Bob prime frame is 0. This is Bob's space axis when the time in the Bob-Bob prime frame is, say, 1 second. This is Bob's space axis when the time is 2, and so on and so forth. Okay, so when time is 0 for Bob and Bob prime, what they see is actually, what they see along their x-axis, what they see along their platform, is actually this set of lights, a blue one, and then a blue followed by a blue one, blue one, blue one. It's entirely blue. Okay, so the pattern's entirely blue for them. Okay, and then when the Bob and Bob prime clocks go to, say, 1 second, then all the lights change to red. And then when their clocks advance one more second, all their lights change to green. Okay, so for Alice and Alice Prime, they see this funny pattern of lights, then this one, everything's flashing like crazy. Bob and Bob Prime just see all blue, all red, all green. Okay? So this is an object. You can think of this object, this set of lights, as existing, first of all, both in space, three-dimensional space, but also in time. It occupies a volume in space-time. This is a four-dimensional volume in space-time. And what Alice sees is a particular set of slices of that object. Alice takes these slices of the object, okay, and sees one thing. Bob and Bob Prime take different slices of the object and see that. Okay, it's just like a layer cake. You know, Bob sees those slices and Alice takes those slices. Okay, but what's invariant, what the main object here is a four-dimensional object, and they're just taking different three-dimensional slices of it. Okay? So that's the nature of space-time a little bit for you there. Okay. Okay. Okay, so here's something really cool. It's kind of eerie almost. It's like, it's really freaky. So I'm going to draw this picture again here. Okay, so Alice and Alice Prime and Bob and Bob Prime drifting to the right on their platform. Okay, so the Bob and Bob Prime platform, Alice and Alice Prime see these weird slices of it. So they see these slices. Their slices are tilted. So I'll draw a couple of the slices here. Okay, so there are four slices. Let's suppose that this slice here, this is the frame in which Alice and Alice Prime are at rest, and this is TA equals TA prime equals zero, say. Okay, so when Alice and Alice Prime's clocks read zero, then these are all the events along their platform. Okay, and they in particular see Bob and Bob Prime drifting by along their platform. Okay, so let's suppose that Bob and Bob Prime, let's suppose they've zeroed the clocks, their clocks, here. So this is TB equal TB prime equals zero. Okay, so this is their platform when their time reads zero, when Bob and Bob Prime say their time is zero. This here is their platform when TB and TB prime both read one. This is their platform when TB is TB prime is two, and so on. Right? So let's see here. So what is this thing actually saying here? So let's suppose that Alice and Alice Prime, so they're here, and here's Bob and Bob Prime, who are moving like this. And what Alice and Alice Prime want to do is they want to measure the length of Bob's platform. Okay, so what they do is they take their hands, and what they do is they reach into Bob's space. Okay, notice that Bob's space, this platform is at rest in Bob's space, and Bob's space is moving relative to the Alice and Alice Prime space. Okay, so what Alice and Alice Prime are going to do is they are going to reach into the Bob Prime space and try to, with their hands, measure the width of that platform. Okay, let's suppose that there's just actually one person in the middle who's just reaching, and the left hand is Alice and the right hand is Alice Prime. Okay, so we have this. So can I get a volunteer? Yeah, come on up. Okay. Okay, so you can be Bob Prime, and this is their platform. So hang on to this guy. Okay, and you are going. I'm going to be Alice and Alice Prime. You're going to be drifting across slowly like this. Okay, so I'm waiting over here, and I'm going to measure the length of the Bob Prime platform while it's in motion. And the way I'm going to do it is as it comes by me like this, I'm going to touch both ends of that platform simultaneously, just briefly as it passes by, but I'm going to actually have both of my hands at the two ends. And then I'm going to back away, and I'm going to measure the distance between my hands. That's clearly the amount of space that that platform occupies in my AA prime space, right? Okay, so it looks like this. I go chunk like this, okay? So when I'm doing that, the key point is when I'm doing that, when I touch both ends just very, very briefly like this, I am touching both ends simultaneously for me. That's what I mean by something occupying some space, right? I would go like this, and then I would measure how far, you know, I've got my hands around the thing, right? This is how big, much space it actually occupies in my space, okay? I have to touch both ends simultaneously as you're going by. Okay, so let's try that again. What's your name?
Sarah.
So what is Sarah going to see? Okay, so let's start at this end again because we're going to the right. Okay, so I am touching both ends simultaneously. Boonk. What does Sarah see? Okay, not at the same time, relative to simultaneity. Who touches first? Which hand touches first?
Right.
Okay. This guy touches first, so you would see this hand first, then this hand. Okay, so let's think about that for a second. So drift by slowly so that I can try to talk while we're doing this. Okay, so what you see is this, and then sometime later this. Okay? So from your point of view, if you're at rest, okay, and you're looking at me, so I'm seeing Sarah, Bob and Bob Prime moving to the right, Sarah, Bob and Bob Prime see me going this way, okay? So what you see is me holding my hands like this. Okay, you stay at rest. Okay, so you're at rest now and you're watching me. I'm drifting the other way now. What you see is something like this. You see this hand touch here and then this hand. Okay? So Bob and Bob Prime look at Alice and Alice Prime and they say, well, that's not right. She's not measuring our length properly. She's not measuring the proper length. What she's doing is something stupid. What she's doing is she's coming along like this. She puts this hand down first, then this hand. Like, what's that about, right? And so the length that Bob Prime, look at Alice and Alice Prime and say, you are going to measure a shorter or longer length.
Longer.
How many say longer? How many say shorter? Okay. So it's shorter because I'm going like this. I've got my hands, I've got them only this far apart, right? I go like this, ding, 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 boom, boom. I claim that I've had that rod between my hands simultaneously. Okay? And for me, this really is the length. It really is this short. Okay? I've got my hands around the thing. It ain't occupying any more space than this. See, that's it. Whereas you look at me and say, well, it's obvious that you're measuring the improper length. And you're measuring a shorter length. Okay? So when something length contracts, it's got nothing to do with some physical contraction of an object. It's precisely relativity of simultaneity. It's this kind of thing going on, like chunk, chunk. That's all it is. But it's real. It's physically real. That stick occupies this physically smaller space in my space. Okay? So it's like that. Thank you, Sarah. Excellent, Sarah. Okay. So length contraction is actually, how much time do we have? Oh, okay. Let me draw one more picture here, and then we will quit because we're right on the verge of this. We don't want to go all through all this again tomorrow. Okay, so here's the main thing. Okay, in all of these special relativity lectures, what we've been saying is that principle one is this relativity thing is believable, is a natural thing. Okay? If we just imagine that light is a physical phenomenon, just like matter, that was the point. Einstein wanted to put light on the same footing as matter. Okay, so we know that matter, like baseballs and billiard balls and so on, obey a relativity principle. Well, we want light to obey the same relativity principle. Okay, put it on the same footing. Okay, that's believable. Also, the idea that light would have the property that it be independent of the motion of the source is very believable. Okay, we've got either if you think about it as a wave in ether, that's true. It's true of any wave in ether. It's true of any wave in medium phenomenon. Or we've got Maxwell's equations. We've got astronomical evidence. It's obvious. Everyone would have thought that, right? What's not obvious is if I take principle one plus principle two, and I asked you last time to think about this, logically they imply principle two prime, which is the one that says that if I have a flashlight at rest there, if I run toward or away from that flashlight, I will measure the same speed. See, that's totally bizarre and ridiculous. How is that possible? Okay, I'll show you how this is possible. I'll show you how this is totally obvious. Okay, so here's the situation where I'm going to draw two situations. The first is really simple. Basically nothing is happening, just to set things up. Okay, so in the first situation, we've got Alice, and this is her space. X Alice, T Alice, and all that. And here's Bob and Bob Prime. Okay, so Bob and Bob Prime are in a train car, let's say, and their train car is at rest. They're at either end of the train car. Okay, their train car is at rest, and so and what they're going to do is they are going, so just in terms of space, here's their train car, and there's a flashlight at this end, and there's a flashlight at this end. And these flashlights turn on, and so they're moving. So they're at rest here. This beam of light passes from Bob Prime to Bob. They know the length of their platform, big L here, And so they record how much time elapses, and they determine the speed of light. Similarly, for this beam of light coming from behind like this, first it hits Bob, then it hits Bob prime. They measure the time difference and divide by the length, or length divided by time difference, and they determine the speed. Okay, so in a space-time diagram, it looks like this. Here's this flashlight. We click this flashlight on, a beam of light moves to the left. Beam of light moving to the left is at 45 degrees, moving to the left, like this. Okay, and there's also a beam of light moving to the right, which I will just sketch in here because, just to get it right. So it starts over here, say. Okay, like that. Okay, so this is the platform. This is their train car. It is of length L. And this is at one instant of time. At this instant of time, okay, so the light starts over here. Ding, 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 ding. It hits Bob prime at this instant of time. This is their platform or train car at that instant of time. The light continues on, moving through the rail car to the back, okay, to Bob. Okay, then it hits the other end of the platform. So the light that hits this end of the platform hits this end of the platform at an earlier time, hits the second end of the platform when the platform exists at a later time. Okay, so that's the picture there. And basically, what we know is that the time elapsed for Bob, change delta, change in time for Bob, times c, because everything is time, we're always multiplying time by c, we know that that's just equal to L, okay, because this is 45 degrees. Okay, if this is L, these are just 45 degrees, right? If this is L, then this is L, obviously. Okay, and so what does that tell us? It tells us that the velocity of this guy is distance over time. Okay, so this light ray has gone from here to here. What distance has it covered? Well, it's just gone from there to there. The distance is just L. How much time has elapsed? We know that the time elapsed, delta TB, is just L divided by C. And that's just C. Okay, and similarly for this guy over here, velocity is C. Okay? Now this is when the train car is at rest. Now we're going to make the train car move with some velocity. Okay, so that's good because now we have a flashlight that's at rest here. Bob is running toward the flashlight, but he's also running away from this flashlight. And so in one swoop, we will get both running toward and running away. Okay, and we will see that how it is possible for Bob and Bob prime to measure that speed of light is C. Okay, so same picture for Alice. Okay, except now Bob and Bob prime are moving. Okay, so there we go. And I'm actually just going to draw the picture kind of first. So first of all, the platform, how do I draw it? How much is it tilted? The same angle as this guy. However much this guy tilts, this guy tilts upwards. So Bob's platform looks like this, the same angle of tilt. This angle between here and here, bisecting these two lines is a 45, is the speed of light. Okay, it's like that. It gets squished down towards the 45, both of them equally. Okay, and so here is a 45, exactly halfway in between them, continuing like that. Okay, and here is a 45. And here. Okay, well, I didn't quite draw that carefully. Okay, so it's like that. Kind of messed it up at the top corner there. But anyways, okay, so here we go. We know that the length of the platform is L. That's the proper length. These guys are standing in this boxcar. Doesn't matter how fast they're going or slow they're going, the length is L. It's 5 meters, right? That's not going to change. Okay, and that's the proper length. If you're at rest with respect to the train car, that's its length. Okay, and the C delta TB here is also L. And you can convince yourself of that just by recognizing that, I mean, it's just like this. If we have this guy measured in meters and this guy measured in meters, and I were to do something like this, Okay, that would be the same length as that. Well, that's what's happening here. Okay, this is a 45 degree here. The angle from the 45 degree to this is the same as the angle from this to this. So just by symmetry, it's believable that this length is also L, in the same way that it was L back here, okay, by this 45 degree. Okay, so this is also L. Okay, so that's that. And so let me just sort of convince you of that. So I'll just write this equal angle. I don't want to derive all of this, go through all the math. It's obviously equal angle, and it's plausible then that these are equal distance. Remember, everything is measured in meters here. Space and time are measured in meters. Okay, and that's it. So now let's look at this guy over here. Okay, the flashlight turns on, it sends a light signal, first hits Bob prime, then Bob. Okay, what do they do? How do they measure the speed of light? Okay, so here's the light signal, it gets emitted like this, travels along here. The first thing it encounters is the right end of the platform. That's Bob prime. And then it continues on. Later on, it hits the left end of the platform. And then it continues on past the train car. Okay? And so we say, what is the velocity? What do they measure? Well, velocity is distance over time. Okay, so what is that? What is the distance? The distance is L. In this picture, the light has gone from the right end of the platform to the left end of the platform. The platform is of length L. Distance is L. The time, we know that C delta TB is L. So delta TB is L over C. And that's just C. Okay? So that's it. So when Bob is running toward the flashlight, he sees a speed C. If Bob is running away from the flashlight, let's look at this one. Okay, so here's the flashlight, the beam of light. The first thing it hits is the left end of the platform at an earlier time. And then it continues on, do 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 do. It hits the right end of the platform at a later time, and then finally it overtakes the train. The train is going at less than the speed of light. Finally, the light beam goes past the train. Okay, in this case, what is the distance? Well, the distance is just this. It has gone from the left end of the platform here to the right end of the platform. It has moved across the platform. And the time that it took is from there to there. Okay, this time, the time, because remember, this event and this event are simultaneous for Bob and Bob prime. This is the same time. If they were to snap their fingers like this, we would see those two events. This one would be here, and this one would be here for them. Simultaneous for them, not for us. We see this, then this, as they're drifting apart. Okay? So the whole diagram, it's just taking this guy over here, this nice little square like this, and just scrunching it up so that it becomes a diamond shape along that 45. So you see that square becomes this diamond shape, which is centered on that 45, the speed of light, the speed limit of the universe. Okay? So the point is, the speed, whether you're running toward or away from the flashlight, is just C. And it's totally obvious. But to understand how it's obvious required that we understand that simultaneity is not absolute. If I have two events that are simultaneous, it's not. That's just for me. For you, if you're moving relative to me, it ain't simultaneous. It's this, then this. And so it's that tilting of the space axis that was required for people to understand how it's possible to be running toward or away from the light and still measure the same speed, C. Okay? So so Einstein provided a much, much deeper understanding of the nature of space-time. And that's what was required to resolve this sort of problem here. Okay. Wow. Long time. Okay. Go have a break.